He's got a beautiful backswing.
That's... Oh, he got all of that one.
Oh, my gosh.
That is amazing.
Layup with an iron into the hazard.
Well, that wasn't quite what I meant, you know.
Hello and welcome, everyone, to another edition of the 73rd Hole Podcast. Taylor Williams here joining you hosting today. Our man Sam Humphrey is a little bit under the weather, unfortunately. Hopefully he will be back at 100% before too long. He will be missed on this show. But me and the man, the myth, the legend, Jim Woodward, will hold down the fort for you today. Woody, what's up?
I'm doing great, buddy. How you doing?
You know, Woody, it's approaching the end of the school year for me. We've got roughly 13 days left, something like that. So as a teacher this time of year, the countdown is officially on as to when our last day is. I cannot wait for that moment. But you know, Woody, one thing I was thinking about whenever Sam told us that he wasn't going to be able to get on today is that usually we have three people talking, and our listeners all know that we're very passionate about subjects and we can go on talking for a long time. But with only two of us today, we won't spend as much time as we usually would because we don't have that third voice there. I thought we'd start the show off with something we haven't talked about in a while, Woody. I know a lot of our fans love is life on the farm. Tell us about the farm lately and what's going on out there.
Well, you know, it's funny you should say that. Today it was a perfect day for me, to be honest with you, Taylor. I went to Oak Tree and I taught for about 4 hours. Had one of my best students. We had a great time, worked on all kinds of things. FYI, Oak Tree National is just getting to be flawless right now with this warm weather. Just in case anybody wants to try to get around out there, go for it, because it is absolutely beautiful. And I got back to the 40 acres at about 1:30, and I looked around and I said, oh my gosh, I got to mow. So I fired up a cigar and I got on my zero turn and mowed all my yard around my house. And then I got on my tractor and I mowed my field where my horses are. And you know what? For that 3 hours, buddy, I didn't worry about Hamas. I didn't worry about economy. I didn't worry about anything unless there was a storm building, and I didn't see any of those. So you know what? I lived the perfect life today. For life on the farm. It couldn't have got any better than it did today.
Well, I tell you what, Woody, all those things that you're talking about there that we could worry about are definitely real life things, and it is nice to not have to worry about those for a while. How much do you have to mow for 3 hours of acreage out there?
Well, to be honest with you, we sit on a 40-acre track, but I only probably mow 15 acres. But when you say that, like the field that my horses are in, that is about a 5-acre field. My yard around my house is not, it's probably 2 acres. So I took on about half of it today. And that's what's kind of funny is once this springtime summer rolls around where you're excited that you get to take the summer off, I'm not so excited. I like it right now, but check with me again about September after I've done this all summer long, and I might not be as fired up to get on my tractor and zero turn at that time. But if you put it on the pencil, I mow about 2 days a week for about, probably 6 hours on those 2 days, and I can knock this thing out.
Well, if you have a nice cigar with you and it's not 115 degrees like it's going to be this summer, yeah. It's actually a pretty enjoyable thing. I am right with you there, my friend. But let's go ahead and dive into a little bit of golf. We had two golf tournaments last week, or at least two big tournaments last week. We had the PGA Tour event, the team championship down in at the Zurich down in Louisiana. Then we also had the Live Adelaide, which was in Australia, which the massive crowds that we were there. We'll talk about that. And later on, we have... We have another Live event this week in Live Singapore. They are going back-to-back weeks. And we also have the Byron Nelson, recently changed. Used to be the AT&T Byron Nelson. They dropped the sponsorship. This is now the CJ Cup Byron Nelson. The CJ Cup used to be a fall series event, Woody, where they played in Malaysia, I believe. And then whenever COVID stopped, they moved it over here. So interesting to see how those deals merge. But let's go ahead and start with the Zurich Championship. And, you know, I don't want to call myself Nostradamus, Woody. I don't want to say anything like that, but I just go ahead and start it off by saying, what did I say last week? This would be the most Rory McIlroy thing in the entire world to be playing like garbage for him essentially all year and then goes out there and wins a team event with his main Shane Lowry. I mean, Woody, just tell us what you saw on that final day or throughout the entire week.
Well, it doesn't shock me. I'm not going to say I'm surprised because I know how good of friends those two are. I think, you know what I enjoyed the most about watching that this weekend, T-Dub, was I came in from doing some work out here, but I said, I'm going to watch them because it was really nasty weather. Sunday, it was windy, and it wasn't pretty. Couldn't golf. I said, you know what? I'm going to sit down and watch this Surrey Classic. I just want to watch it. Well, when I pulled it up, you know, I was shocked, first off, that Trainer and his partner had already shot 63 in alternate shot. I was like, oh, my. So they're top of the leaderboard. But then I looked at how many holes that Blair and his partner, Rory and Lowry, those guys, they all had a lot of holes. But as the day wore on, you saw the wind kick up. And I knew then it was going to be pretty challenging. But what I really was excited to watch, being a golfer, and I know you probably feel the same way, could those, what we call them, not the big names, they're still pretty doggone good players, but could they hold together coming down the stretch? Or would Rory and Shane, with all their experience, find a way to win the golf tournament? And I thought for a minute it was going to be nip and tuck that these guys, somebody would hold in there. And then, of course, Blair hit some really bad shots, and so did his partner, coming down the stretch. So they shot themselves in the foot. And the other couple of teams that had a chance, you know, kind of did the same thing. Lowry and McIlroy, I'll give Rory credit. You know, I'm not a big Rory fan, but he made some good putts on that back nine to keep them in it. You know what I'm saying? At least I thought that was very entertaining. I don't know what you thought. You tell me what you were thinking.
I thought it was entertaining, Roy, for sure. We had documented this last week numerous times that we would like to have a little bit more team golf out there, for sure. And obviously you have the team events now, like college golf and LIV, but where it's a different format, where you have a best ball alternate shot, or there's even other various games kind of aspects that you could incorporate into the professional game, which would be great. And you saw that coming down the stretch, the dynamic of the alternate shot and how intriguing it was, because Sam had brought up a really good point last week that whenever you have that alternate shot, is that not only do you not able to get into the rhythm like you are physically by hitting the shot, but it's mentally as well, because you sit there and you have to wait and you have to ponder what your next shot's going to be. You tee off on the hole, and then you have to wait and see where the second shot goes that your opponent hits from there. And like I said, it's a unique thing that you don't see very often. And I think the inexperience of those other teams, as you alluded to, was a really good thing to be insightful. And we even saw it a little bit from Rory and Lowry coming down the stretch. Lowry on 17 hits a god-awful shot on the par 3 17th. He had the water left, and he made the biggest, I'm not going to hit this ball left swing you'll ever see. Hits it over there 40 yards right of the green in a very awful spot for Rory to try to get up and down from, or at least hit a shot close enough to where Lowry could make the putt. Hits it to about 20 feet. Lowry hits a good putt. It doesn't go in. And then on the last hole, Rory does what Rory has not been able to do so far this year on the 18th hole and hit really good drives. We saw it in Dubai earlier this year where he hooked it left on 18 to hit it into the water. And this time he's able to pump a drive right down the middle. Lowry only has like 217 yards or is somewhere around in that number. And he pulls this iron. It was the exact opposite of the swing that he made on 17 there. Left Rory with another tough pitch shot, but he's able to hit it up there and get it up and down. So I do think that that was interesting. And then you have, like I said, the dynamic of how that playoff went with the team that they were playing and just the opposite of those good shots that you were hit. So yeah, Woody, it's a very good point about how the experience and having been there, you have a four-time major. Or between Rory and Lowry, you have five major championships between them. That can't go unsettled, even though Rory, we talk about it all the time, he hasn't won in 10 years. Still, the greatness of player that he was what helped them prevail during this tournament, for sure.
Well, when you looked at it, Rory had more PGA Tour wins than the five guys, five teams combined chasing him. Now, think about that for a minute. So when you go to an alternate shot, if you've never played it, which I would tell our listeners, if you ever got a wild hair and just want to have fun with your buddy one day, go out and play it. If you go out and play one of those, you're going to be shocked at how difficult it is to do. It's really a lot more challenging than you think. I'll tell you what was also funny is on 18, when Rory had that little chip shot that he had, did you hear what Dottie Pepper was saying? I don't know if you were listening at that time, but I listened to it. I was crazy. He set up, and she said, well, it looks like his blade is pretty square, so he must be going to bump and run this ball. Well, then what he did is he took it away, and he kind of took it back a little shut, and then when he came into the golf ball, he just fanned his right hand wide open. He just scooped it. And, I mean, he hit the prettiest little golf shot. And that's sometimes where those on-course analysts, they just don't realize how talented these guys are. And if you think you're going to tell them what shot they're getting ready to hit, they'll shock you every time. They'll surprise the hell out of you. Because he didn't lay it wide open at the beginning and try to really slice under it. He did the coolest little shot. If you watch it, go back and replay it if you can. And look how he hit that shot. He had it pretty square, and then he just kind of went. And as he got right to the golf ball, he just slid his right hand straight under it, popped it, and it had some spin on it. He hit a phenomenal pitch shot there. That's what won him the golf tournament, because you and I both know, T-Dub, what it's hard as it is to get in the rhythm, how about sitting around waiting for 3 hours and then go out in the playoff? Those guys had no chance. None.
Woody, they were second from first group off. Besides, they were the second group off for the entire day. That shows you how early they played and how well. First of all, as you said, to shoot 63 in alternate shot, that's pretty spectacular. We saw some pretty low scores when they had the best ball format, but alternate shot, that was very, very impressive. And then to your point about Rory for an entire calendar year has not lost strokes gained around the greens since 2011. Every single year he has gained shots around the greens. Rory obviously is known for his driver and how well he hits the golf ball, and he's actually been a really good putter over the last 6 years as well, gaining a decent amount of strokes in those categories. But he's a really, really good around the game player. He does not get enough notoriety for that, which is why I've been talking about it forever, is that one of the reasons I'm so hard on Rory is because he's this talented. You hit the ball that good. You're that good of a chipper in the last 6 years. You've been able to gain shots on the greens. You should win a lot more than you have been. So
I agree.
So hopefully this will be the time that Rory is able to turn it around. And that's just, we could talk about the other teams that were around there. The Chad Ramey Martin trainer team that did shoot 63 in an alternate shot to get in the playoff. Very, very impressive stuff. But, yeah, when you sit around for that long, and at different points it looked like they were going to lose in regulation, then it looked like they could win outright, and then all of a sudden it looked like that what ended up happening was they ended up going to a playoff. Because you had the situation where Rory and Lowry on 18, they had to birdie to get in the playoff, and the same thing was for the Ryan Braun, Mark Herbert group, who finished at 24 under, one shot back. They hit, I believe it was Braun who hit the second shot, hit a great three wood into 18, went right past the hole. It was just about 15 yards too long, and very right. Tricky shot there, had the big false front on the backside of the green, and so he had to try to bump it up through there, and it was just a couple feet from being really good. But that's the things that you have when you have that little bit of a short green to work with a classic Pete Dye design there. So, but there's numerous opportunities for them earlier in the tournament to get it done as well. So just to your point, Woody, it was just that inexperience. Had we had another team up there, maybe the Cantlay Shoffley group, maybe they would have had a chance. That would have been someone who you might have thought could put a little bit of heat on them. But when you had the kind of, I'm not necessarily going to say no names out there, but obviously less recognized players than Rory and Lowry, the cream rises to the top in this occasion.
Well, and that is a lot of pressure that is on those guys, because that's a 2-year exemption. Both players get FedEx points, big FedEx points. They get 2-year exemptions. It was huge. And so that pressure on those guys was immense. Rory and Lowry, they don't need the money. You always need money, I guess. But you know what I mean? The money is not going to be life-changing for either one of them. The exemption's not life-changing because they've already got them. So you kind of really feel bad for all those other teams. But, you know, that's golf. It's not that we want the guy to – the winner isn't the guy we feel sorry for. The winner's who puts the best score up. And when all the dust settled, Rory and Shane were able to, you know, just stay there where they needed to and then figure out a way to birdie that last hole. And then, like I said, I knew that playoff wasn't going to be – I mean – heck, those guys made bogey, didn't they? If I'm not mistaken. I mean, Rory and them just made par and won. So enough said there. That pretty much tells you. You know, it was impossible for them to sit around for 3 hours and then go out and play. two world-class players, two major champions, and think they were going to win. That was definitely a David and Goliath, but that time Goliath won.
Well, it's interesting, Woody, because we keep talking about how Rory and Lowry made an easy birdie on 18 in regulation or after Rory's great chip, but Shane Lowry had been massively struggling with his putter. He put a new putter in the bag this week. His last two tournaments, he had lost more than a shot on the greens. He had just been absolutely lost there. And he kind of lipped in that little three-footer he had. It caught the left side. It was, had he been, the hole been any little bit smaller, it would not have gone in. So that was a pretty big moment for Shane Lowry, I think, to be struggling with his putter. And you think about it, it's just a three-footer, you should make it. But under that situation, when you've been struggling with your putter, especially in the alternate shot type format, that is a very, very tricky situation. And then the Ramey Trainer group, you had Trainer on the third shot who was over there way left. Took forever to try to get a drop off the cart path. He just absolutely flubs it way short. Ramey's able to hit a putt up there through the fringe, and then Trainer hits one of the worst four-footers you'll ever see. Didn't even sniff the hole. You could literally see the piss running down his leg, how nervous he was. So I feel bad for them in that aspect. But it's a good learning experience for both of them, and hopefully their careers will be better going forward. We'll mention some other notable teams here. Local guy Sam Stevens and his partner Carl Bergeon, they finished at 23 under, tied fourth, so that is a really good thing to see. Kelly Kraft and his and local guy Kevin Tway, they finished at T11 minus 20, so good for them. Along with the Bedlam team, we had Austin Eckroat and Chris Goddard up. They finished at T11, so really great to see those two young players have a nice high finish, and that'll propel them hopefully into some good success into the year. We had the Fitzpatrick brothers, they finished T11 as well, so big cluster there. The kind of bigger names, the Cantlay Schauffele team, they finished at 20, tied 23rd, and then you had the Morikawa Kurt Kitayama group at 20 or at 18 under and tied 23rd. So some of the bigger names, they did make the cut, Woody, but weren't able to be able to contend on the weekend as you would have, as the PGA Tour would have liked to, for maybe a little bit better viewership. Anyone outside of that anyone that had contention to win stick out to you?
No, I think you pretty well covered. I'll tell you what I will give Lowry and McIlroy credit, because the Zurich people, that's who they wanted to win. We all know. And then for them to stick around, and Rory even to break out a little karaoke, that's a touch of class. I will give those guys a lot of credit for sticking around there, having a little party time in New Orleans with the sponsors and things like that. That's why Rory is still what we like to say, that even his golf hadn't been that good lately, he's still a needle mover, as they like to say. He moves that needle, and he's really good with the fans and the sponsors. That's another reason why, when they're giving out all this free money coming up, that Rory is only behind one guy, and that's Tiger. So, I mean, call him what you want. I'm not a big fan. I've told you that. But I will give him credit when credit's due. And this was a class act, them sticking around for the little get-together and little party and singing karaoke and all that. That's touch class.
It really is. And it's a good thing for the Zurich as well that they will be defending their title next year. Rory already said that after his press conference. Obviously, things can transpire over the year where they may not. But it looks like that for the great TPC Louisiana golf course, that it'll be great for that community to have those two great players come back and play again. Love to see that. Love to see the game of golf grow anywhere it can. And that brings us to our next tournament that we had, Woody, and talk about growing the game of golf. Had some of the biggest crowds you'll ever see at a golf tournament down in Adelaide, Australia. We had the first time in history we had a team playoff in the live competition. Cool. We had Ripper and Stinger GC both competing it out, and you said had the Ripper, the Australian team, do it on their home soil, able to lead the charge. That was very exciting. The individual race was a tight race coming down. You had Brendan Steele at 18 under, Louis Oosthuizen at 17 under, Charles Schwartzel down there at 16 under, along with John Rahm and Andy Ogletree, Joaquin Neiman and Dean Burmester, all a plethora there, tied at 8 or tied at 16 under, tied third. So it looks a little bit tighter than it was, Woody, but Brendan Steele, he goes out and shoots 6 under in the first round, 8 under in the second round to be 14 under. So we had some moments down the stretch where you look like maybe someone put a little bit of pressure on him. Rahm goes out and shoots 8 under in the final round. He could have made a couple more putts coming in to put a little bit of pressure on him. But really, when it comes to the individual race, we'll talk about the playoff in just a second. But individual-wise, Brendan Steele just had to do a little bit of coasting coming in, and he was able to do that.
Well, Gooch, you know, was so many under last year. What did he shoot? Well, I remember 62-62, had 10-shot lead. So the golf course will give up birdies. That's obvious. But Brendan Steele is such a good driver of the golf ball. He that golf course really sets up good for him, because if you look at how tight a lot of those holes are, he had it in the fairway all week. And that allowed him to kind of be able to coast. Oosthuizen, I thought, might make a run at him. Played that 18th hole really bad in that last round. But Steele played what I call very smart, simple, consistent golf. And, you know, in that golf course, I thought he probably played it smarter than the other guys. He just never really got out of play. He was in control. And he was a solid player on the PGA Tour. He wasn't a superstar, let's just say that, but he was a solid player. You know, I'm sure he's thinking, I just made $4 million for doing this week down here in Australia. That has to excite not only him, his family, his banker, everybody that has anything to do with him. So big win for him. Another big win for Australia, how they come out when there's a golf tournament. And I know if I had a crystal ball, and I don't have one, but if we were going to talk about a world tour where everybody finally gets together and we sing Kumbaya, boy, if you don't have a tournament in Australia, you aren't very smart. You're really stupid. If you don't look at how those crowds react 2 years in a row now to having championship golf in front of them, if you don't swing in that area when you're having your quote world tour, well, you're missing the boat, don't you think?
1,000,000%. You look at what they said, the amount of crowds where they said record-breaking crowd of about 94,000 fans were on site for the tournament. That is just a great thing, not just for LIB, but for the game of golf, to be able to get all likes of fans involved. Looks like there's a much younger demographic than what we've been accustomed to here in the United States. So that is another good thing, is that we're able to, the younger, the better we can get these kids and young men and women involved in the game. I absolutely love it. They're making it more fun. I've had numerous people, Woody, whenever we had the LIV tournament last year up at Cedar Ridge, where people would say, even my friends who didn't even like LIV, they would come out and say, well, I still don't really support LIV, but I'll tell you what, watching golf in this environment is a lot more fun than a PGA Tour event. Even people that hated it enjoyed the atmosphere that it provided. So it's a great thing. That's one of the reasons why I've been a big proponent of it, is because I think that it does actually help grow the game, especially when you have really great players that are going to attend the tournaments. It makes sense. So, you know, Woody, that leads me to a question. You played a lot more global golf than I have. You've been to probably every single country and played golf, or every single continent and played golf. So just tell us, does Australia, do they have a clamoring for golf like this? Like we've talked about before, they used to have the Australian Open and PGA Championship. They still have those terms, but they used to be a lot bigger deal than they are. Just tell us about how some of the other places in the world that are just absolutely craving high professional golf in their country.
What you can usually tie the golf crazy going to is a player from that country that performs good on the PGA Tour. What got Australia off and running was Greg Norman. Greg Norman, who is, of course, polarized from a lot of people, don't like him. Okay, great, you don't like him. But he brought golf to Australia. That's where the Stuart Applebys and, I went brain dead with Elkington, Steve Elkington, who won the PGA, one of the prettiest golf swings I've ever seen. These guys that were Australians, why did they start playing? Because of Greg Norman. You see the Asian guys or the South African guys. South Africa was, who was it? It was Gary Player first, but then it was Ernie Els. Ernie Els brought all these other guys into the game. If you look over there in Japan right now, Hideki, you think Hideki Matsuyama doesn't bring a lot of people to the game. If you go to every continent, if you will find, if the reason it becomes popular in any continent in the world is you have some player, and this is for the women and the men, guys. This is not just for the men. you have a player that excels. So guess what? All the kids growing up watch that. It was the same way with Tiger Woods, with all you guys. Why are you guys so infatuated with him? Well, when you were growing up learning the game, who was your idol? It was him. Arnold Palmer was mine. Jack Nicklaus was mine. Okay? So you have to have that. And when you have it, then that part of the world gets that fever. And then if you bring all those tour stars into their country, yeah, it's a big deal. It's a huge deal.
It really is. And we look at the respect and how everyone showed Cam Smith that he had this week, the massive following that he had. I think that he's going to be why he was such a big gift for Liv is exactly what you were just alluding to, and the fact that he could draw and he's going to be that main focus for Australian golf. You have the likes of Jason Day, who was number one in the world, and he has been playing a lot better golf as of recently. But and so he would probably be up there as well. Adam Scott, his history. Minwoo Lee's been up and rising. So those are some guys that may contend for it. The other players would be like a Cameron Davis, but not, they'll never be up to the likes of Cam Smith. So it's good to see, or it's good for Liv in this aspect that they were able to get a high-profile player like that. And that leads into talking about Australia and Ripper GC, the team that won the playoff over Stinger GC, the South Africans. So we kind of had two countries going head-to-head in that playoff. That was pretty interesting to see. In the playoff, we had Mark Leishman. He played it at even par. They played 18. I think they went twice. And so then we had Cam Smith, who played it at one over par. And then you had the Stinger GC, who Louis and Dean Burmester was the two that they threw out there. And you had Louis and Burmester, they hit it into over the green into a bunker, and their balls were literally touching each other. It was one of the more weird things that you'll see. You have two teammates, literally, you have one guy hits a shot, rolls into the bunker, and then the exact same thing happens right after that, and it rolls in. And literally, it's not like they collided head-on, hit hard. It was like one just rolled and barely, like dimple on dimple onto the other, so that was interesting to see. A unique ruling, for those that don't know, what you do is you just mark it, the other guy will hit, and then you'll have to place the ball back and try to recreate it with the sand. And it was interesting. It said that they don't have rakes there. They have a paddle or a board or something. They were trying to describe it. Right. It sounded unique to me. So that's kind of shows how golf can be different all over the world. But, I mean, Woody, for it to be the first team playoff in the history of LIV, and you have the home team in the playoff, and then they win the playoff, I couldn't imagine a more dream scenario for the fans at LIV Adelaide.
That was a good week for LIV, too. I mean, I know that wasn't a big week for the PGA Tour, but how it all unfolded was a good week for them. Great week for the LIV Tour because of where they played and how exciting all those people were. Everybody was so fired up down there. It was crazy like it always was. I felt bad for the guy that threw the full bottle of water and clubbed the caddy. That was a little stupid. You don't throw a full bottle of water. That's not the smartest thing. But, you know, they were excited. They were fired up. It was a party. And so I think if you drew a script up, the only thing would have made it better is if Cam Smith would have won the golf tournament and then taken that and won the playoffs. So, but as it is, for them to get up on the podium with the champagne, be able to spray everybody and spray everything. So it was I'll just say this, we got to see, I didn't think they were going to be that entertaining this week, but they were both really entertaining golf tournaments. And for them not to be a signature event, for them not to be majors and stuff like that, it was still kind of fun to watch a little bit of golf on a Sunday afternoon. I liked it.
It was definitely entertaining. And before we get off the subject, I want to highlight the water bottle throwing incident, Woody, because it highlights a trend that we're seeing in the game of golf. We had this situation. We had numerous situations that happened at the Waste Management this year. That Saturday, the third round of that tournament, was a literal shit show. It was asinine, the things that were going on at that tournament. And the problem with that is that whenever you invite the craziness, because you want it to be a little bit hectic, that's what makes it fun. But the problem is that you have to ride the line for it to be the most maximum fun. And when you ride the line, it's very, very easy to cross it and for bad things to happen. So, Woody, I think that this, unfortunately, is just a consequence going forward of the more fun that you want to try to make viewing a golf tournament and bring in a more, even younger demographic. They're going to be more tenfold or more trending to do chaotic things like this and not necessarily have their head on their shoulders or maybe be consumed by the alcohol, whatever it may be. The likelihood of a chaotic situation occurring whenever you want to try to have a tournament like this is very, very high. And unfortunately, if we want to try to have that going forward, whether it be on live tournaments or at PGA Tour in the Waste Management, at least at this point, you're going to have to expect that to some degree. Just hopefully no one gets severely hurt whenever it happens.
Well, what do they always say? Be careful what you wish for. Yeah, we want to bring in a different viewership. We want to make it a little more exciting. We want to make it more entertaining. Because what was golf's biggest problem? It was always boring. And that was the problem we had, is it was always boring. And once you get away from the boredom, buddy, once you get away from the boredom, then you're crossing that line. That's that fine line we talked about, isn't it? So we got to be really careful from that situation. I think it's still good to bring these kinds of people into the golf tournaments, but I'm going to just say, buddy, you got to be real careful. You're right.
The line is razor thin. Another few names to hit on here before we hit a break. Cam Smith, a hometown hero, he finished tied 14th. At 13 under par. You have Matthew Wolff, Bryson DeChambeau, Taylor Gooch, and Charles Howell, Perethola of Friends of the Show. They finished at tied 26th at 10 under par. Dustin Johnson continues his lackluster golf. He finished tied 31st at 9 under par. Scrolling down, Phil Mickelson tied 38th. Sergio Garcia, he was finished 40th down there with a few guys. And then, guy, I got to ask you about Woody. We have not talked about him much since his very first live tournament. But Anthony Kim shoots plus 7 in the final round, finishes DFL. His finishes so far this year, 53rd, 50th, played an Asian Tour event in Macau, missed the cut, finished 53rd, 54th in the other two events. Is this – how much longer are we going to see Anthony Kim play? Is he going to try to keep going on live? How long are they going to let him play? I mean, what are we going to do with him? Because he hasn't shown – he's shown a few signs, maybe a few stretches of holes where he's played good golf. But overall, it's just not clicking for him at this point.
Well, that's his fine line. Okay, we know what Anthony Kim was. We didn't know what Anthony Kim could be. The live's got that ability to roll those dice, okay? And you know what? What if he'd have come out and been really competitive? How much fun would that have been? I think what it shows you and what it shows me, T-Dub, is you can't do any kind of sport and stop it for 12 years. Yeah, and not be competitive and not play and not compete. You can't hit balls. You can't play with your buddies for 12 years and then walk out on the first tee of a golf tournament and expect to play good. It doesn't work. It won't work. It can't work. It's what I told you when somebody asked me, why am I not playing competitive golf anymore? Because I got to the first tee of a major championship and I wasn't nervous. And you know what? That screamed to me, I need to go find something else to do, because if I'm not nervous in a major championship, I'm not focused. I'm not there. I'm not competing. Okay. So when you see it from that standpoint, as much as Anthony Kim wanted to believe he could come back and just play at a high level, it's not possible. Sorry.
Hopefully time will start to show some better results. When you've only had 5 competitive events under your belt, whenever you've gone, let's see here, the last time that he played 72 holes of golf before his comeback was, or actually even up until this comeback, he hasn't played 72 holes. It was in March 25th, 2012, at the Arnold Palmer Invitational, where he finished tied 66. His other two tournaments he played after that, he withdrew from those. So 5 tournaments in 12 years. Thinking about that time, Woody, I was in college in 2012. I was a sophomore. It was the end of my freshman year whenever that happened. So that was, I cannot describe to you how long ago that it feels like that happened. So to think that you weren't going to play a competitive tournament for that long, come out and be able to contend in tournaments, was bad. I just hope that maybe we would have saw maybe a 40th finish, maybe something around 35th, just to show some signs that he is able to beat some other guys. And unfortunately, we just haven't seen that to this point. Hopefully that turns around. Let's go ahead and hit a break, Woody. Whenever we get back, we will preview the 2 tournaments this week. We have the Byron Nelson and down in Dallas, and we have Live Singapore in Asia. So we will be back here after the break on the 73rd Hole, the official podcast of Golf Oklahoma. Hey everyone, T-Dub here. I want to take a second to tell you about my good friends at McCray Roofing. Not too long ago, my roof was in desperate need of repair. There was extensive hail damage and I had many leaks that needed attention. Not only did Jeff and his staff build me a new roof, but they walked me through step by step of the claims process, which is something that I was very, very concerned about. Everything from the initial inspection of the roof to analyze all the damage to meeting with the insurance adjuster to make sure they were aware of every damaged area, making sure my claim was accurate. Their custom copper creations are truly beautiful and add a great touch to any roof. Not only do they do residential roofs, but they have an elite list of commercial customers, including Gallardia Country Club, Oak Tree National, and Bass Pro Shops. Check out their website at McCrayRoofing.com to view some of their work yourself and give them a call at 405-692-4000. That's 405-692-4000.
We'd like to welcome in our newest sponsor for the 24 season, Allcom Security. They're located in Midwest City. It's an Oklahoma-based company by Oklahomans. If you have any alarm needs, whether it's home or business, or what they have now that I am fascinated by, and I think you would be too, they're OKC security trailers. These trailers aren't just your average surveillance units. They're equipped with cutting-edge technology that can distinguish between humans and vehicles. Imagine that. With precise accuracy, these trailers detect any unwanted activity on your property, whether it's a person wandering where they shouldn't be or a vehicle creeping around after hours. It's like having a vigilant guardian watching over your domain. I have personally seen these units, and they are amazing. So if you have any alarm needs, please call my good friends at Allcom Security, 405-732-9000, or just look them up on the web, Allcom Security.
We would like to welcome in a new sponsor to the 73rd Hole Podcast, Jimmy Austin Golf Club in Norman, Oklahoma. If you have any Sooner apparel needs or apparel needs in general, this is the golf shop to go to. Jimmy Austin Golf Shop has been rated as the top merchandising facility in all of the South Central section 5 out of the last 7 years. In addition to their phenomenal pro shop, Jimmy Austin is also going to be hosting a Korn Ferry event again this year, the Compliance Solutions Championship. On June 20th through the 23rd, you can come out to Jimmy Austin and see the stars of the future on the PGA Tour competing in the Compliance Solutions Championship on the Korn Ferry Tour. I also want to encourage all of our listeners out there to go out to Jimmy Austin and play some golf. It's one of, if not the best, public facility in Oklahoma, and it always ranks in the top 5 best courses in Oklahoma to play golf. So if you want to play like a champion, next time you're booking your tee time, remember, there's only one Jimmy Austin Golf Club.
And we're back here on the 73rd Hole, the official podcast of Golf Oklahoma. Taylor Williams here hosting today. Our man Sam Humphreys, hopefully he gets to feeling better from the illness that he currently has. Jim Woodward with me holding down the four, talking some great golf that we had last week. So now we're going to get into some news in golf that we had this week and also the tournaments we have coming up. The first thing, Woody, I want to talk about is the main announcement today that the LIV tournament, the final event they're going to have for the individual championship, at least not the team competition, but the individual championship that's going to be September 13th and 15th, is going to be in Chicago, but it's not going to be at the same course that they've been playing in Chicago. It used to be at Rich Harvest Farms. It's going to be at Boiling Brook Golf Club in Chicago. Saw some pictures going around on the internet, Woody, of the 156-yard Island Green 15th hole that they have there. It's designed by Arthur Hills, a really good course architect. So be interested to see how this course shapes up. I believe that it is a municipal there, so I've heard some people kind of clamoring about that. So it's going to be interesting to see how this holds up. I knew the LIV Chicago had been a success at Rich Harvest Farm, so it's unique to see them go to a different course. It'll be interesting to see how that Island Green, that 15th hole, shapes up.
Well, you know, LIV is really pretty good at picking great golf courses. Golf courses that you're not always familiar with, that when you watch them on TV, they turn out to be pretty good little golf courses. So, I mean, I think that, you know, the Arthur Hills is who designed Gallardia. And a lot of people in Oklahoma City don't know that, but that's who designed Glardia. So he is a good architect. He has done some great work. So I think like anything with Liv, because they're so out of the box, you just don't know what they're going to do. And this could be another one of those golf courses that we think, yeah, I never heard of a municipal, you know what? And then all of a sudden you might get to watch the tournament and see it, and it'll turn out to be a heck of a golf course is what I'll bet you. They don't pick bad golf courses.
They usually have been pretty good at that, Woody. Going on their website right here, you can get a tee time. This is April 1st through May 10th. You can get a tee time now, Monday through Friday, $70 plus cart, $95. So you can play this course for under $100. That's pretty interesting to see.
That's cheap.
And the pictures on it look nice. It'll be interesting to see how it shapes up in September. Know that a lot of courses can get beat up when it's hot, even up there in Chicago with how hot it's been. So hopefully it'll be in prime shape whenever Liv goes there for the individual championship. Let's go ahead and stick on to Liv Woody, and we're going to go to Liv Singapore, where our man Taylor Gooch won last year. He won in Liv Adelaide, and we're celebrating that. And exactly like last year, they went back-to-back weeks, and he won there, so we had a duo celebration going on. He won in a playoff over Sergio Garcia. They both shot 17 under. Brooks Koepka was 16 under. He had a great chance to be in that playoff. Unfortunately, made a few mistakes coming down the stretch. Last year, he had Scott Vincent was fourth. Mito Pereira was fifth. Mito had played pretty good this last week, so maybe look out for him. Cam Smith, Charles Howell, the third, Jason Kokrak, and Harold Varner, Joaquin Niemann were all in the top 10 last year. So we saw a little bit of last year, Woody, where it's not necessarily a driver's paradise. You got to be fairly accurate off the tee. Look like TG hit a lot of three woods around that course. Very much a placement track. You have John Rahm as the analytical favorite, 10.1% chance. Joaquin Niemann very close there at 9.9%. DeChambeau, Hatton, Louis, who finished second last week, is there at fifth place. So Sam always asks it to me, but I'll say it to you, Woody. Do you think the winner comes out of that top five?
You know, I keep thinking Rahm's going to get focused and pull one of these off. So I think the top five that you just named, yeah, I think there's a real good chance of it. I really do. The only one that I'd like to see in there is Cam Smith, but he's just been in Australia for a week and he's been partying like an animal probably. So he's probably, and then again, not what I'd call your best bet. Those guys you mentioned, I think the winner will come out of that. And the reason is a lot of those guys, DeChambeau is the only one that kind of doesn't fit the MO of being able to really kind of control that golf course without bombing and gouging it. So, but he's been playing some really good golf this year. So, yeah, I think they do. I'll go ahead and go with one of those five.
Yeah, I think that Rahm is going to get on a little bit of a heater at some point. Didn't play very good at the Masters, but notoriously defending champions do not have the best record at that course. Finished third this last week, finished fourth in Miami, eighth, fifth, eighth, and third. His other finishes so far 2024. So you got to think that the win is going to come at some point. He's just too talented of a player to not be able to hoist trophies on numerous occasions over on Liv. So I would have thought that he would have had his first win up to this. Figured he would have by now with six events under his belt. If you would have said before the year, John Rahm threw six events, is he going to win or not? I would have put a decent amount of money on that he would have had a win. So a little bit of a shock there. Was in contention a lot of times, just wasn't able to pull it out. You mentioned Cam Smith. He finished 14th last week. Really didn't play very good in the final round. You mentioned all the things that he does off the course. So I think that that will play a factor. He would not be an extremely high candidate for me in this term. He did finish sixth here last year, though, so maybe that'll be something to look at. And he shot 65-66 the first two rounds, then shot 70 in the final round. Almost everyone else inside the top 10 shot in the 60s, so very lackluster final round from there. Maybe he'll want to come in with a little bit of redemption. Our man TG, the defending champion, finished 26th last week. He has three other top 10 finishes so far on Liv. Maybe he can hopefully show a little bit of mojo and be able to defend his title. That I would absolutely love to see that. We're talking about Bryson DeChambeau. He had been on a really massive tear all the way through the Masters, had not finished outside of the top nine since the Liv Maricopa. He finished 25th every tournament past then. He'd been inside the top 10. But last week finished 26th, didn't have his best game. But I didn't necessarily think that Liv Adelaide was a massive course for Bryson. Didn't think he would do extremely well there. Finished 19th here last year. Like I said, not necessarily a course that fits him, but he's so talented of a player, I think that he may be able to break out at some point. And then an interesting name, too, who maybe could get on a little bit better run. I know the game of golf would love to see it. Brooks Koepka, he finished 9th last week, had not had a very good start to his 2024. Finished 5th at Live Mayakoba, but then since then had not finished inside the top 10. Any Live event, finished 45th in Doral and then in Live Miami, and then finished T45 at the Masters. So a top 10 at Adelaide may be a good sign for Brooks Koepka to hopefully get on a better trend, who did finish one shot out of that playoff last year.
You know, I still think that a lot of these guys still struggle with the Live as far as getting excited to play. I guess, I don't know. I'm not saying they don't care, because everybody does, that was everybody's statement. Well, now they got all that money, they don't care. But I don't think they get their juices quite as flowing every week like they do on that PGA Tour. And so that's human nature. I mean, it really is. They kind of, I don't know, they just kind of get in their little comfort zone, and they don't really push themselves as hard as they need to. Like TG last year, I think he wanted to make a statement. He wanted to come out and say, you know what, I am a great player, and watch. And so he had that momentum, and he had that motive, and he had that drive that he had something to prove, and he went out and did it. So that's why I'm talking about with Rahm and Koepka. These big names, Dustin Johnson's really notorious for just having a not giving a shit attitude, kind of. You know what I'm saying? So I think these guys get a little more focused. I need them. They're the stars. They need to start playing like stars.
An interesting point you bring up there, Woody, because I agree with 100% with what you're saying. A lot of people, whenever Liv first came around, were ripping it because it didn't matter if you finished first or 54th. You were going to get a paycheck. And people were saying that you wouldn't care because of the guaranteed money you'd get in the tournament. But to me, if you have $20-plus million in the bank, it doesn't matter if you're playing in a tournament if it's going to have a check or not. So I think people need to be focusing more on the accumulation of wealth that the likes of a Scottie Scheffler and all these Liv players have gotten. Whenever you accumulate that wealth in the bank account, don't necessarily rip the tournament because it has a guaranteed check and that be the reason for not caring. It's the fact that if you already have your entire life and what should be generations of wealth already set, why do you necessarily have to care about the tournament? So I 100% agree with what you said.
Well, I just don't think they get focused every week. I think they just kind of lollygag, and then every now and then they decide, you know what, I'm gonna kind of click another gear. And it just seems that way to me. And if Liv is going to keep being a factor, and if we're not going to merge, which sometimes I think we're not anymore, I do think Liv needs to kind of consider a 72-hole golf tournament. I really do. I think they need to, you know, not copy the PGA Tour, because they don't want to do that. They want to be different. And their team event is always going to make it different. Their smaller fields are always going to make it a little different than the PGA Tour. But I think there's nothing wrong with a 72-hole tournament. And I think you'd find these guys might get a little more motivated if they had a 72-hole tournament. I really do.
And I think it'd be better for the tour in general. You'd have another day for fans to get out there and experience the golf. Because even what's different from Liv practice rounds compared to PGA Tour practice rounds is that Liv doesn't sell passes for those. Like, the only way you're going to a practice round at Liv is if you're with the media, like we were up at Liv Cedar Ridge. But these fans can't even go in the practice round. So you're only getting 3 days there, where at the PGA Championship, you had 7 days to go up there and see those players. So that's more than half the time you get to exposure. So I would love to see. And as much as I love the media being the only people there in the practice rounds, that was extremely cool. So I actually kind of hope that they don't change that. I think that's a unique aspect. I hope that they do go to 72 holes. I think it'd be better for that. It kind of shut up a lot of the haters saying the 54 holes is a joke. I'm sure the extreme haters will still find a way to rip on it. But, yeah, John Rahm has said he was a proponent of it. I do think it would be a necessary change going forward. So, yeah, I think that – The main thing that I'll say about this, Woody, before we head on to the Byron Nelson, is that I don't care if it's the PGA Tour, I don't care if it's Liv, I don't care if it's the LPGA Tour, I don't care if it's Sunshine Tour, I don't care if it's some made-up tour from Zimbabwe. If you generate 90,000 people to come out and watch your tournament, I don't see how that can be a bad thing for the game of golf. Maybe Lucas Herbert's caddy gets KO'd in the temple with the water bottle and something really bad happens. I guess that could be a consequence. But barring extremely crazy thing like that happening, I'm talking about just how it can grow the game of golf and how it can be great for young players to get them involved, to get different demographics involved in the game of golf. I don't see how – I just see the pros outweigh the – with the exception of someone possibly dying, as I alluded to, the consequences of trying to expand and try to get golf to be that point. I don't see how it's a bad thing.
Well, can you imagine, thinking about it from this side of the picture, imagine there is a world tour and you've got all these guys together, Scheffler and Cam, and all of them are together. Everybody's, like I said, kumbaya, we've all got together. Have a 72-hole event in Adelaide. How many people you think going to show up for that? They're going to have to stop them. They're going to have to cut it off because who knows how many would show up then. You know what I'm saying? I think it'd even be even more of a massive amount of people if you had the world's best players all together. And so if I'm on the outside looking in, if I'm the PGA Tour and I'm living, I've just watched what I saw in Adelaide, man, I'm wanting to get this thing done as fast as I can to get all of us back on the same page. Because right or wrong, T-Dub, we're losing viewers over this. We're losing golf fans over this. We really are. We're not gaining golf fans per se in America. We're gaining them around the world, which I think is wonderful. But golf fans in America are getting kind of frustrated. They just don't like this bickering. And so I think it, again, if I was, you know, on the outside telling all these guys, figure this out. Please figure this out. The quicker the better. Get it done. That's all I'm going to leave it with, because I still love watching this live, but we need to get everybody together. That's my whole hope.
Well, golf is the ultimate traditionalist game, Woody, and whenever you disrupt the status quo like it has been this last 2 years, it's hard to get everyone on board for it. So I 100% agree. Hopefully that we can have a kumbaya at some point and embrace the great game that we have and hopefully grow it to the max capacity possible. Let's go ahead and transition to a tournament not very far from here, the CJ Cup Byron Nelson down at TPC Craig Ranch. You know, Woody, it's a course, as I alluded to, not very far from here. I've never gotten to get down there and play it. Have you ever played it?
I've never played Craig Ranch. No, when I played the Nelson, it was always at TPC there, Las Colinas. So I've never played Craig Ranch. Nope. I don't even know one thing about it, little buddy. I couldn't even tell you a hole on the place.
Well, it's a fairly new course. It's a Time Weisskopf design, which is just – it's actually in McKinney, which is north of Dallas, so even closer than traditional Dallas would be. The course was designed in 2004, so it's only started hosting the Byron Nelson since 2021. The Byron Nelson's kind of switched around courses since they went to Las Colinas. They played at Trinity Forest there for a few years, and now TPC Craig Ranch has been the destination. From what I've seen the last few years watching it, it's a fairly easy driving golf course. The fairways are rather generous. So it's one of those courses where I think that you could be a little bit of bomb and gouge. We saw Jason Day was the defending champion. He won here last year. So hopefully Jason Day is one of my favorite players. So hopefully that would be a good case. He is, what is he, the sixth or seventh analytical favorite? So I'll go ahead and do it right with this tournament, Woody. We got Siwoo Kim leading it off with a 6% chance to win. That is fairly staggering considering the next best is Jordan Spieth at 3.8%. So a pretty massive drop-off in there from first to second with Siwoo Kim leading the helm. And then you have Oklahoma State alum Alex Norn at 3.6%, Minwoo Lee at 3.5%, Ben On, who's been playing some solid golf, he's down there at 3.3%. Some other notables here down in like 10th place, you have Adam Scott, who we talked about, Australia. He may be someone to look at. But other than that, Woody, you scroll down for sure, and this is definitely another example of you don't have an elevated event on the PGA Tour. Yes, you're going to have your Jordan Spieth of the world, Jason Day, defending champion, some fairly big names. But other than that, we got the Siwoo Kims, the Minwoo Lees, the Steven Yeagers who won earlier this year. But then we have the Adam Shanks. These are the guys that are rounding out the top 10 odds to win this week.
Right. And so when we look at, listen to that, no, I do not think winners out of the top five, because this is probably a 150-man field, maybe 156, because daylight savings time. Now, they might be able to get 156 guys around. Of the 156, 125 could win the golf tournament. Okay? That's a pretty safe assumption. It might be 130. Okay? So, there, yeah, no way. Those five. If they do, great. But, you know, I don't see that. No, I'm gonna be a naysayer on that one. Sorry.
Well, they played at TBC Craig Ranch. They played here three times, but there's only been two champions of the tournament, because Jason Day won last year, and then K.H. Lee won it back-to-back years the first time it was here, one in 2021 and one here in 2022, finished 50th the year after that. We talked about it's hard to defend your title. Talk about trying to three-peat your title. That's even harder to do. So, yeah, it's so far is a course that – look at guys that have played here well in the past. Jordan Spieth played here twice. He finished second in 2022. He finished ninth in 2021. But he has really just not been playing good golf at all. Finished 39th at the Heritage. Missed the cut at the Masters, a place where he's always excelled at. He finished 10th at the Valero Texas Open. But we remember that more for his gutter situation on Saturday on 18 than we would any play that he had in there. Missed two cuts before that, missed the cut, the Players and the Valspar. He had the DQ situation at the Genesis. Other than that, he had a sixth at the Phoenix Open back in February. But Spieth, he's kind of turned into a momentum player, and here lately the momentum has not been on his side. One thing that's interesting, Woody, is that the last five tournaments where he, as we just alluded to, has not been playing very well, he's gained shots off the tee every single one of those events, but he's lost strokes around the greens in all five of those tournaments. We're not used to Jordan Spieth having a bad short game.
Well, he doesn't practice as much anymore. He's worked so hard on his golf swing that he's probably forgotten why he became a world champion and a major champion and a consistent winner. He's lost his short game. I don't care what they tell you. If you don't have a short game on the PGA Tour, you're not going to be competitive. You're just not. I mean, you can drive it straight as a string, but you're going to miss X amount of greens. They've proven it. Over year after year after year, the leader in greens and regulations is usually somewhere in the 70s, maybe low 80%. And that's a guy like Scheffler that's hitting them all, it seems like. The rest of them are down there below that. So what do you figure? They're hitting 12 greens. Now you've missed six greens. If you're bogeying two out of those six, guess what? You're not going to win golf tournaments. So, you know, the really guys that are winning the golf tournaments, if they're missing four or five greens, they're getting them up and down every time. That's what they do. They don't make bogeys when they miss a green. Jordan Spieth right now, he is not what he once was. I don't know what he needs to do. I don't know. I'm not his coach. I'm not his manager. I don't know. But he needs to go back to whatever he used to do a little bit and figure that out and quit worrying about his golf swing so much. Get your short game back and figure out how to win again.
Well, it's interesting, Woody, because before the Players' Championship, which was the start of his five tournament lost strokes around the greens, he had gained shots around the greens in 10 straight tournaments during that stretch. It's just a massive fall off, too. Lost more than half a shot at the Players' Championship. Lost almost a full shot at the Valero when he finished 10th, so he may have potentially contended for – well, he wouldn't have contended because of the runaway that Denny McCarthy and Akshay Bhatia had. But he would have maybe been up there with Rory for third place. And then last week he was kind of neutral around the greens, but still lost strokes there. So it's – whatever happened between the Arnold Palmer and the Players, it's been a massive drop-off. So it would be interesting to see if Jordan Spieth can turn that around, because he's driving the ball really well. So if he can get those two things clicking, may start to see a little bit better golf for the Spieth fans out there. Let's go ahead and talk about the favorite of the tournament, Woody. That is Siwoo Kim. He has been playing some solid golf. He has not missed a cut since the Shriners Children's Hospital Open back in October. Has not lost strokes gained off the tee. We're talking about Jordan Spieth driving the ball well. Siwoo Kim has not lost strokes gained around the greens since the British Open of last year. And you look at his last 25 tournaments, that is his only tournament where he's lost strokes gained around the greens. He's not a very long hitter at all, but one of the most accurate you'll see in the game. So, but it's interesting to see, Woody, because I would have said, okay, he's the favorite. I understand that. But to be 6% versus the second highest Spieth at 3.8%, it's interesting to see. That's more than a 2% chance to win. I would have thought Siwoo could have potentially been the favorite, but not that big of a favorite.
Well, obviously, somebody thinks he's got the game around this Craig Ranch, and it might be because of what you say, he doesn't really get it out of play, and his numbers around the greens, putting and around the greens has been, you know, we always see it, though. We always see these guys trending, you know what I mean? You can kind of see them. They're making a lot of cuts. They're doing a lot of things right. They just didn't have everything happen. All the stars didn't align, you know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, a boom. And just like that, you go, well, where'd that come from? Well, it's been building. It's right there. So he's that guy. This week, everybody thinks, well, he's got it going. The one thing you got to always remember down in Dallas, because it's close to us, what's the weather going to do? You know, this is the time for thunderstorms. This is the time for windy days. We'll see how that unfolds, because I think one of the hardest things to do in golf is when you have a rain delay or you have big changes in weather that cause part of the field to kind of get burned, the other part gets away. So it's luck, and it's all those stars need to line up. But he's got as good a chance as any of them that I just told you, probably better than most. But there's still, you know, like I said, 125 other guys besides Siwoo Kim that I think can win the golf tournament. So I'll just wait to see how the weather falls. Like I said, get the right breaks, and who knows? I think it's a pretty good chance this is going to be another one of those weeks where a long shot wins the golf tournament. That's what I think.
Well, Siwoo did finish second last year in this tournament, so maybe look for him to trend off of that high finish, playing good golf and good form last year. That's usually your recipe for success. He was tied second with Austin Eckroat. Was looking to see Austin maybe try to defend playing a really good week, but he is not in the field this week for whatever reason. So hopefully next time we see Austin play golf, it'll be very good. As I mentioned, Jason Day one earlier, CT Pan was fourth last year. So looking through here, some other names, Alex Noren, let's talk about him for a second, Woody, because he's been trending sort of similar to Siwoo Kim has. He has not missed a cut going all the way back to the Fortnite Championship in September. He's finished 23rd, 14th, 11th, 19th, and 9th his last five events, not a finish outside of the top 25. That 23rd was in Punta Cana when Billy Horschel won, so the opposite field event. So not necessarily the best field to finish top 25 in, but nevertheless, haven't finished outside the top 25 in five events, Woody. For all the Oklahoma State fans out there, that's a guy trending in the right direction who could get a big win for him on the PGA Tour in a not very strong field.
Well, and that's where these guys have to make hay. When you don't have the big names, there's still a big tournament. There's still a PGA tournament. They still have all the benefits. It gets them into the signature events if they happen to win one. So I think that what we talked about last year with Austin was a perfect example. When we say he's got to get that 70, he's got to get that 70. Then lo and behold, he wins down there at PGA National, and all of a sudden life's good. It's life-changing, just like this last week at Zurich. If one of those guys could have stayed up there and not let Roy and Shane win, they would have had a two-year exemption. That's big. It's huge. So I think that's why these tournaments are still interesting to watch. They're not like a major. They're not a signature event. But when you think about how hard it is to get on the PGA Tour, then how hard it is to elevate yourself to those signature events, there's a lot of storylines in every one of these golf tournaments, and that's why they're fun to watch. They're fun to watch if you're dedicated and if you love golf. They're probably not fun to watch if you're just the average guy. You know, turns Sunday afternoon, he's got nothing better to do. He might watch it, but probably won't because they don't know him. But how are they going to get to know him? These guys got to win and then get to the next level and then excel there. That's how it works.
One guy I want to talk about before I get to my – or to our picks, Woody, is local guy and friend of the show, Quade Cummins, is in the field. He is 10th currently in the Korn Ferry standings. He has been playing some very good golf as of late. He finished 5th the last tournament at the Veritex Bank Open. He finished 14th of the tournament before that. So it's good to see Quade trending in the right direction. And being top 10 in that standings, Woody, is trending in the right direction of a PGA Tour card next year. That would be absolutely monumental for him.
Oh, man. Again, these are big weeks for those guys. That is what I'm talking about. The average golfer doesn't realize how important these weeks are. And when I say make or break, I truly mean that. One good week can make or break a guy's whole year. And that's how fast it can turn around on that PGA Tour. You have that one week where you get all the stars lined up, all the ducks in a row, whatever you want to call it, and you excel, and all of a sudden, lo and behold, boom. I mean, we see it. We see it all the time. Especially we see it with a lot of our Okies. You know, Austin's, when he wins down there at PGA National, how big was that? And we knew he had the game to do it, but had he done it? Taylor Moore last year at Bowes Park. We knew he had the game to do it, but had he done it yet? And then when they do, it changes everything about who they are as a golfer and what they can do now as a golfer. They can elevate. That's what it's all about. And that's why we have a tournament every week. If they weren't important, we wouldn't have them.
And Quay did finish second earlier this year, too, at the Bahamas, so got off to a great start. He's just been playing great golf overall. His only really poor finish really was a miscut at the Club Car Championship, but other than that, has made the cut in his other – he's played in 8 Korn Ferry events total, so he's 7 of 8 on cuts made. And I did a quick run through here. It looks like that he's played in 4 PGA Tour tournaments so far in his career, so this would be his 5th. Hopefully the 5th time will be the charm for Quaid, and he can have a nice high finish. That would be great to see. Let's go ahead and dive into our picks, Woody, to close the show out here. I'm going to go with a guy who is inside of that top 5 that you mentioned earlier. I think it's a good fit for the course. Absolute Bomber isn't necessarily the straightest driver, but you can get away with it with the wide fairways on this course. Give me a little bit of Minwoo Lee. And we talked about Ripper earlier, Cam Smith, the Australians. I'm going to go ahead and go with the Australians again this week. Woody, young up-and-comer, still only 25 years old. We've been hearing about him for a long time, so it feels like he should be older than that. But just absolutely pummels the ball. He's one of the longest drivers in the game, upwards of 190-plus ball speed at times. It's just absolutely exceptional to watch him drive the ball. He's been off and on lately with the putter, which has been his problem. He did have the second place finish earlier this year at the former Honda Classic, the Cognizant Classic, finished 22nd at the Masters. Did miss the cut in his only appearance here last year, Woody, but that was in a stretch where he was playing some bad golf. He had 3 missed cuts in a row during that stretch. So I attribute that to a little bit more just whatever was going wrong with the swing as to not necessarily a course fit. So give me a little bit of Minwoo Lee as a potential breakout win this week on the PGA Tour.
So that's your one and done? You're going with him, right?
That's my one and done, Woody. Minwoo Lee.
I like it. I'm going to go with Denny McCarthy. I thought he should have won earlier this year, and I think he's going to win this week. I just think he's due. I think he's had too many close calls. I think he's a really solid player. I just think it's his time this week.
Well, that would be a great thing to see, Woody. One of the best putters in the game. Let's go ahead and end the show with this, Woody. You have a 10-footer on the last hole of your tournament to get you whatever it needs to be. Let's just say $1 million. You're going to put Denny McCarthy or Cam Smith out there to hit it?
I'm going to go with Cam, even though I love Denny's stroke. If you tell me that, I want Crenshaw.
let's do that real quick.
I can't have it.
How many legends, you could pick how many other legends, would you pick above Cam Smith right now to hit that putt? Tiger?
Tiger. Jack.
You pick Jack?
I go Tiger and Jack. And then I probably would have to, I mean, Cam and Ben are right there to me. But I'd take Tiger and Jack first two right off the bat, or nobody else.
You take Cam Cam over Arnie?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Arnie wasn't a very good putter, was he?
I didn't think Arnie was all that great a putter. He just had so much grit, and he just didn't want to lose.
is a Cam better putter than someone like Faxon?
Yes. Yes.
I tend to agree. I love what Brad Faxon teaches. I think he's one of the best of all time.
So, I do, too.
So we're going with Tiger, Jack, and Crenshaw as third. So Cam, and by that retrospect, is the 4th best putter of all time? I mean, I know that the scenario we put out there was a little obscure, but yes, right. That's kind of the overall gist we're trying to get.
Yeah. If I got 4 guys, those 4, I'm gonna go Tiger and Jack 1-2, and they're right there. They're right next to each other, and then I'm gonna say Cam and Crenshaw are right there. So I got 2 ones and I got 2 twos is what I got.
It's hard to go wrong with Rizzilli either one, Woody. I think the odds of you cashing in on the bet, if you have any of those guys, is probably pretty high. So we're going to go ahead and close it out here on the 73rd Hole, the official podcast of Golf Oklahoma. Make sure to give us a follow at the 73rd Hole on Twitter and at 73rd Hole on Instagram. So make sure to give us a follow there. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast as well. Give you a notification whenever we give a show out, so you'll be one of the first to listen in. Make sure you can get your picks in before the betting window closes, because like last week, sometimes, Woody, we throw a dart at a dartboard and it works out. So on the off chance that we do get it right, maybe we can help someone out there if they want to partake in that kind of endeavor. So thank you everyone for tuning in to the 73rd Hole, the official podcast of Golf Oklahoma.